Okay, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Romans. We'll be reading from chapter 11 and verse 29. Romans, 11th chapter, verse 29. Welcome to everyone that's here in the room with us today. Glad to have you here. And for those listening and watching on Facebook streaming, we're happy to have you join with us as well. We pray that you'll be blessed. Today, the title of my message is Irrevocable Part 2. Now, I didn't start out to bring this message. Something else was stirring in me and has been for several weeks, just getting richer and richer and excited about sharing that. Had a catchy little title to it, and just everything was getting ready to culminate into this message. And earlier this week, about midweek, the Lord said, no, I want you to preach this message instead. And so I was quite happy to change it. I'm not exactly sure why. There were some things when I preached part one of Irrevocable that it's always that way when you preach. You feel like, man, I wished I would have said that. It's a rare time when I wished I wouldn't have said something, but that does happen from time to time. But most of the time, I could have added that, I could have added that, and want to be judicious with our time and your time and not add too much and seek the Lord on that. But there were some things I wanted to add. And so this is an opportunity to do that. For the most part, it's a revisit of part one that I did, and it's over 2 years ago that I preached this message. So it's been a long time coming, this part two. But I don't know exactly why. The things that I wanted to bring out weren't that big of a deal to me that I would have gone back into it now after 2 years, but I guess it's a big enough deal to the Lord that He placed it on my heart to do it. So if you remember this from before, if you've heard it, you know that old thing, was, if you heard it before, stop me. If you've heard this before, don't stop me, okay? I'm going to keep going. We're going to finish. And who knows, there may even be a part three that comes of this, because I already know there's some things that I'd like to say this time that I'm not going to get to. We'll see if there's a part three or not. But Romans chapter 11, verse 29, I'll read it to you first of all from the King James, and then we will read it from another version. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome, saying that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Now, before I go any further, I understand that in context, in what Paul is writing, or the Lord is prompting the Apostle Paul to write, is primarily to do with the nation of Israel. But this truth is not only applicable to Israel, it's applicable universally. It's applicable to us. The truth that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The NIV says it this way, for God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. What is a call? And what are gifts? We always have to define terms so we better understand what God is saying. What are the gifts He's talking about, and what is His call, particularly to us under the new covenant? A call is not just the casual speaking forth of your name, as in somebody calling out your name, possibly to inquire about your well-being or whether or not it's your birthday today. I threw that in there because as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of when I was playing football in high school. Before our coach, Ken Ozy, I mentioned him before in several of the sermons, who came and was such an asset to our football team, our community, and such a unique, as a shock to the system, really added a new dynamic and made us believe in ourselves. The coach we had before that, I'm not going to say his name, because I may have gotten it all wrong in my head, but it seemed he was very sadistic. It seemed that way. And one of the things he enjoyed doing is when he found out it was your birthday he would bring out this huge, great, big paddle that was solid wood and give you a birthday spanking. And it wasn't a little tap like you do with your children just to play. It was whack, whack, whack. Bring tears to your eye, whack. And a good friend of mine was in our class named Clint DeArmond. We found out one day it was his birthday, so we started singing happy birthday to Clint. The coach comes out of his office, and we knew about what time he was going to come out. He came out of his office with the assistant coaches, had his paddle in his hand. DeArmond, happy birthday. And so he said, come here, DeArmond, bend over. Whack, whack, whack. Well, he made it through that. It was his birthday, but we enjoyed that so much, we started singing happy birthday to Clint once a week. And the coach, as sadistic as he wasn't an idiot. He could remember from week to week, and he could remember that he'd paddled Clint DeArmond last week and the week before and the week before that. But nevertheless, whoever we sang happy birthday to that day got the paddling. Now, that would not fly today, but believe me, that was normal for when I was in high school, and we just dealt with it. And I was so happy that my birthday was in the middle of July, and nobody ever got to sing happy birthday to me, and nobody dared sing happy birthday to me for no reason. But with Clint, it was pretty easy to do. And, Coach, no, it was my birthday last week. Don't you remember? It was my, you've already, DeArmond, bend over. Well, that was a call to Clint DeArmond to come up and receive what he was going to get. That's not the kind of call we're talking about here today. It's not a call to inquire about your location, where are you, or what are you doing. Is it a call? It is his call to join him. It is a call to action. It is being chosen for a purpose. It's him calling you to join him for his purpose. His call on our lives becomes our God-appointed job, our vocation, what we were put on this earth to accomplish. This call of God should then be our reason for being, our life's mission. Gifts, remember, it's the gifts and calling of God, which are irrevocable. We'll explain what irrevocable means in a moment, just in case you don't know. The gifts are not toys. They are not given to us for our amusement or our emotional well-being, our personal happiness. God's gifts to us and through us are the tools that we need in order to get the job done. What is the job? The job that He's given us, our life's mission. We accomplish our God-appointed job, or jobs, because sometimes His gifts are plural and His callings are plural. We accomplish our God-appointed job or jobs in our life's mission, our missions, by learning to correctly use the tools that He has given us. Calling and gifting go together, just as God's guidance and His provision go together. You ever heard that saying? And it's a very true saying that where God guides, He provides. God will not ask you to go somewhere that He will not give you the means in order to get there and to accomplish what He wants you to accomplish. God's guidance and provision go together, and so do God's calling and gifting. Here is the divine truth. Just if you are called, then you are or will be gifted to meet that calling. If you are gifted, then you are or will be called. They go together. They're never separate. You never have someone who's gifted who doesn't have a God-ordained call on their life that gifted was given them for. That was the purpose of the gift. It could be misused. It could be underused. But it was given for a purpose. If you are called by Him, then you have been given gifts in order to successfully fulfill His calling. That word irrevocable, it comes to us, to the English, from the Latin first and through Old French, and it's broken down the prefix ir for irrevocable. Ir means the opposite of, or not. And the re is back, to return. And vocare is the old French part, means to call. It means to revoke is to call back. If I revoke your license or the government revokes your license, they call it back. They want it back. You had it, now they're having it back. If something is irrevocable, it is impossible to call it back. It is not callbackable. It belongs to whoever it was given to, and it is not going to be called back. The gifts and calling of God are, according to His word, irrevocable. They cannot be called back. The Lord will not change His mind regarding us, nor His expectation of us. The Lord isn't going to say, you know, I gave that person that gift and I called them for a task, but I'm thinking better of it now. I'm thinking that I'm going to take that gift off of that person and put it on that person because there's only so many gifts that can go around and I'm not going to waste them. I'm not going to waste that gift on Andrew that I gave to Andrew that he's not using correctly. I'm going to take it away from Andrew and I'm going to give it to Jason. Jason needs a couple more, so I'll give it to him. No, God doesn't do that. If God gave Andrew a gift, then Andrew has that gift and is responsible for the use of that gift from the moment it's been given to the day he stands before his Maker. Paul the Apostle knew that he personally was called and gifted. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause, what cause? Because I have been appointed this of God. I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I have committed this to him because he has committed it to me. The gift on my that he's given me and the call on my life was his commitment to me. And my commitment to him is to use it for his glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. This is from the New Living Translation. Paul writing to the Corinthians. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news. Now this is talking about Paul's gift and his preaching. We're not all gifted the same way. So if preaching is not what you're called to do, is that's not something that you have been called and gifted of God to do, then there is something else that is there. And the truth of the matter is the same for you as it is for Paul. Woe unto me if I don't do whatever it is that God has gifted me to do and called me to do, because that is the very purpose of my life. Amen. We need to ask ourselves, what in my life specifically is committed to Him and His purposes? Well, my whole life is committed to Him. Amen. That's where it starts. But then you'll find out that because your whole life is committed to Him, then it doesn't stay in a general sense. There are specific things that He has gifted you for and called you to. What gifts have been given to me? Am I faithfully developing and exercising my gifts? in order to fulfill His call on my life? Am I faithfully developing? Because most gifts are given to us not full-blown, not fully developed, but in seed form. It's something there that we recognize that is in us. And oftentimes other people recognize that something special, has been deposited in you. And other people can recognize it either by seeing the gift or by a word from the Lord and spiritual perception, but that is recognized, but usually is in seed form and has to be developed. And the question we have to ask ourselves, am I developing and exercising? And that's how you develop, by exercising my gifts in order to fulfill His call in my life. I want to play this YouTube clip for you now. I'd like to set it up for you. And this is a 11-minute clip. I typically don't do things like this. I just thought it was so powerful. Every time I've watched it, I've kind of been moved emotionally, and I hope not to have that happen again today. If it does, we'll just all deal with it. But it's an interview that is taking place between someone and a woman by the name of Kim Collingsworth. She will tell her story about how she received a gift. She plays the piano. She sings beautifully. She married a man who sings and is very talented musically. And she have children, and they all, as a family, the Collingsworth family, sing together and perform all over the place. And this little clip shows how she believes she received the gift to play the piano. I want you to notice how it came to her as a child. So children, I want you particularly watch. You may not have the same gift that she has, but God has a gift for each and every one of us, at least a gift, possibly more. Then, and if we are gifted of Him, it is to be used for His glory. And you'll see in this, as she performs in the end, she performs a piece, "How Great Thou Art." And I'll just tell you right up front, as wonderful as she plays on this piece, that's not nearly as technical and as amazing as some of the other things she plays. But it shows her passion, which is in all of her playing. Her passion not just for music, but for worshiping the Lord through the music. There's no way you can watch her perform and think she's a performer. She is drawing attention to herself. No, it's all about Jesus. And I'll just throw that out there. If you want to look at other clips on YouTube about Kim Collingsworth, the Collingsworth family, look them up. And that's her married name. She comes from the Keaton family, K-E-A-T-O-N family. And they gather together special times as a whole family. And they sing and worship the Lord. And I can't believe they're all so gifted and amazing. I watch one thinking, I'm gonna watch a clip. And this is just on not the one I'm going to show you today, but some of the others on the Keaton family reunions and gatherings, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Just somebody recording on a cell phone, and the sound's not all that great. But what is coming out of that family and how they worship the Lord together and how they harmonize, it's just amazing. What a gift that so many of them have. I'm constantly amazed. I think I'll just watch one, then I'll go to another, and I'll watch another. And I've watched them all before several times, but I'm so touched. Because it's someone who is yielding themselves for God's glory, for His purposes. Not to be seen, not to be recognized, not to be famous, but to give God glory. So I want to play this. I hope it works for those of you watching on Facebook. If for some reason you don't get it, go back later and look it up. But I hope this works for everybody here and also on Facebook. So, Dustin.
church most of my life. That's kind of what we did. But I remember one night, I think I was around 3 years of age. I was sitting on the front row. I can tell you where I was sitting, at the end of the bench, and I was watching my daddy as he was preaching that night. And he announced his text. I couldn't tell you anything he said except this. He said that Solomon asked for a gift, and God graciously granted it. That's the part I got in the sermon. And he began to speak about wisdom, and I don't know what else he spoke about, but it's about King Solomon. All I could think about from the moment I heard him say that Solomon asked for a gift and God graciously granted it, that I wanted to do that too. And so that night, we lived just directly across the parking lot from the church, and after the service that night, my mother took us home. And I went upstairs on a mission. I went out to my bedroom, and I remember getting my PJs on, going over and kneeling at the end of the bed. And I remember being so passionate and so serious about it, and I began to beg God for a gift. I begged him, would you please give me a gift like you gave that king my daddy was talking about tonight? Please. And I believed with everything in me that I was going to be something when I woke up. Well, the next morning, obviously, I woke up, and I was nothing different there. Nothing had changed. But I don't know the exact time frame, but some weeks later, my mother said that she came in from the kitchen, and she found me on the piano bench playing my sister's recital piece. And that was the first time ever I remember music coming alive to me. And Mother said that when she came in, that I was playing the key of G-flat, which is a little bit of a complicated key for, you know, for most musicians and most of us. And she said that I was repeating the recital piece that had been being played before I got there. And she said to me, how did you know how to do that? How did you know how to do that? And she said, I looked up and said, well, she was playing and I wanted to play too.
I was always fascinated by this ability that was unconventional that she had. And so, of course, once we were married, I began to question her. When did you tell me this story? And it was very interesting because she actually, to tell me the story, took me back to the little church on the Bud Road in New Albany, Indiana, and showed me the places. And it was very emotional to see these spots where she was sitting on the front seat, and she told me the story of her dad preaching this sermon about a gift that God gave King Solomon, and took me over to the empty parsonage. In those days, it was empty, and we walked over there and went upstairs to the bedroom where she had knelt down and pulled out the drawer and got her PJs and got down. And probably the thing that struck me that she told me was when she began to ask God for that gift, she ironically lifted her pinky fingers as she counted the pleases off. Please, 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 and lifted all 10 fingers in the air as she was asking, please, God, give me a gift.
But I remember some years later, I think I was 11 or 12, maybe 12 years of age, and I was riding with my dad down the road, and I was talking to him about that prayer. And I said, Daddy, do you think that maybe playing the piano is the gift that I got? And he said, honey, I think it is. And I remember as it was all I could think about from the time I was tiny. Everything that I heard musically affected me. And I remember my mother said that before I went to first grade, I would play 6 and 8 hours a day. And I would hear chords maybe that a pianist would play, and I would be so fascinated by it that I had to find that chord. And so I would work until I could find what I heard.
We would ask her mom about her taking lessons because she never had a formal teacher take all the mechanics of EGB and FACE. When she would go to these teachers, she would basically ask them to play the song and she could duplicate it back to them, which was very frustrating to teachers, you know. And finally the teacher, one of them called her mom and said, no, this needs to go back. I don't know what to do with her.
I would have loved to have the privilege to go back and study music in a more professional manner. To be honest, I wrestled with that when I became an adult. I really was raised, we didn't have a lot of means, not a lot of money. It was a different day back then, and we didn't have a real good option to go to college. But one day, the Lord and I were having a conversation, and I remember saying to the Lord, why did I never get the opportunity? Because what you start raising your family and children, you know, school becomes less and less important to you as a mother because you've got this big responsibility for children. And I understand, I don't understand why you need the opportunity to go back and maybe study and get a bachelor's, maybe a master's, maybe a PhD in piano performance. Wouldn't that have been amazing? And no, I didn't hear an audible voice, but in my heart, I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, Kim, had you gone back and studied and gained all of these accolades through learning, your teachers would have gotten all the credit. And this is a gift I gave you. And I wanted you to give this gift back to me. And I wanted you to praise me with this gift. And I didn't want anybody else to get the glory for what I gave you. And so I plan to spend out my days, the rest of my days, giving it everything I've got and giving every bit of praise back to Jesus Christ, because I know that he's the only one.
He is great, isn't he? Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are we back okay here?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope that worked. And thank you, Dustin, for all the work you put into making the attempt. And I hope it was a good one. Was it a good one?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Like butter. Back to the message. In fact, the Apostle Paul knew that all who are truly born again are called to serve the Lord and to fulfill His purposes. Not just Paul himself. You know, some people recognize their own gift, their own calling, and their own importance. But Paul went way beyond that. He knew that not only was he called and gifted, but everyone who has submitted to the Lordship of Jesus has a call of God upon their life and gifts to help them fulfill that call. Ephesians chapter 1, excuse me. I told you I got emotional every time I watch that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes, Paul's praying here for the church at Ephesus. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. Paul wants them to know that His call on their lives gives them hope. It should give you hope. It should give us a desire to continue to live and press in and go forward and go through all the heartaches and hardship that this life throws at us, because there is hope that we are pleasing Him and bringing joy to His heart. And if you believe the Westminster Catechism, that is man's chief end, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That is your chief end. That's what God has put you on this earth to do, is to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. That you walk worthy of this vocation, this job that God has given you. The Apostle Paul knew that being called and gifted is God's part of the process. Our willing response to His call and exercising His gifts is our part. This process is where God makes known to us that we have enormous value to Him, and where we openly and willingly demonstrate our appreciation and devotion to Him. We are given value, so we value what we have been given. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17, and this is Paul writing to the church at Colossae, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Take heed means to turn the thoughts or direct the mind to a thing or to consider, to contemplate, or to look at it, to weigh carefully, to examine. Take heed. Why does he say take heed? Because you could do the opposite. You could not take heed. So say to Archippus, instead of doing the opposite and ignoring your gift and calling, take heed to it. What does the word ministry mean? Ministry is your area of God's directed service, that which He has called you to. It is your efforts towards answering His call. That you may fulfill it, He says. To fulfill means to make full, to fill up, to fill to the full, to cause to abound, to furnish or supply liberally, to fill to the top so that nothing be wanting, to fill to the full measure, fill to the brim, to carry through to the end, to accomplish, to carry out, to carry into effect, bring into realization, realize matters of duty, to perform, to execute, not only His call, but everything that goes along with that. Say to Archippus, this is interesting, it's not just God who desires that we serve Him with our full measure. Those who love us and desire God's best for us expect that of us also. I liked what was shared this morning during the worship time, both what Kristen had to share and also what Stephanie had to share. And I like what Stephanie brought forth concerning the Bible study about invasive, what was it called, invasive friendships or what that was. But it was where we do more than just acknowledge that someone is in the same space with us, that we are invested in their lives to the degree that we want to ensure that they are fulfilling the call of God on their lives. Those who love us and desire God's best for us expect that of us also. We are to provoke one another to love and good works. You know the saying, friends don't let friends drive drunk? That's true. Friends don't let friends get drunk to start with. And then friends, true friends, don't let friends drive drunk. True friends don't let you go around with a piece of lettuce hanging between your teeth and never say anything about it. A friend cares enough about you that they want to invest in your life and take a chance of rejection through that investment. But friends don't let friends live beneath their potential in Christ. A true friend is not going to sit back and see that you're not rising to all that you can be and say, well, that's okay. It'll come to them. No, part of what God has for us is that we get involved in one another's lives and we encourage one another. Paul again communicates his love for Timothy by saying to him in 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Why does he say neglect not? Because Timothy could neglect it. It's a possibility that it could be neglected. But Paul said, don't neglect the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. Notice how the gift referred to in that passage came to Timothy. It came to him through the prophecy over him. It wasn't something necessarily that Timothy was dreaming about all his life. It was something that came spiritually through someone else speaking a prophetic word over his life. With the laying hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. There's an ongoing benefit. Not only do we benefit by living in God's grace and His goodness and answering His call and receiving the gifts that He's given us and exercising those and developing those and continuing to walk in them, but others benefit as well. And then Paul writing to Timothy again in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He told Timothy, stir it up. Not just neglect it. Not just acknowledge it. Not just give place to it if it wants to do something in you, if it wants to bubble up. But stir it up. To stir up from the original Greek means to rekindle, as to put a fire back together, get the coals back together, and blow on them with bellows to make it burn hotter, or to stimulate a horse to make it run faster. To stir up means to put effort into making it come to life. Because of his great love for his spiritual son, Paul gave yet another admonition to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. I'm getting close to the end here. Full proof means to fully bear, to bring to bear, or to make full. To cause a thing to be shown to the full, to fulfill in every part, to carry through to the end, to accomplish and to finish. Well, what can cause someone? What could cause Timothy? Paul told him to stir up his gift and neglect it when he told the church body to say to Archippus to not neglect the gift. What could cause somebody to neglect it, to let it go, to let it slide? Well, number one, not understanding the unalterable link between call and gift. You can't separate the two. If you have a gift, it's there for a reason. You need to start seeking God. Why am I blessed this way? Why do I have this gift? Why can I do things that perhaps other people cannot do or cannot do so well? Why am I gifted? Why do other people say, that's a gift? Well, everybody can paint like that. And there's me using painting again. I'm talking about artistic painting, not painting houses. Everybody can paint like that. Everybody can draw like that. No, they can't. Everybody can sing like that. No, they can't. I can point you to a few who can't. Y'all stop looking at me like I'm that guy. Well, maybe I am. Everybody can preach like that. No, they can't. Everybody can teach like that. No, they can't. See, what normally happens is when we have a gift, we think it's normal. We think everybody can do it. They're just not, but they could. That's the case for some people, but for most people, no, they can't. Everybody can run as fast as Usain Bolt. No, they can't. Everybody can jump that high. No, they can't. If you're particularly gifted in an area, you're gifted for a reason, and it's to bring glory and honor to God somehow, some way. There's an associated call that goes with that gift. Perhaps you don't understand that unalterable link, and you haven't fully thought about it. Perhaps it's disappointment in yourself or in others because you have this gift and you have a call, but you have other aspects of your life where you're not living up to your full potential, where you fall miserably flat. All I can say is get it fixed, because God's not going to call the gift back just because you're struggling over some addiction or some thing going on in your life. You need to get that fixed and get it out of your life so you can get back to what you were created for. Disappointment in self or others. Fear of failure. What if I don't do well? What if they get mad at me? People never get mad at you for preaching. They'll never get upset over that. People do. People get jealous. There's all kinds of reasons for feeling like a failure. I meant to say that, I didn't say it. I meant to hit that note and I cracked when I tried. I fell off my horse. Well, get back on, keep riding. That's your horse, God gave it to you. That's your journey, He gave it to you. It's your job to be on that horse going on that journey. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, hurt, feeling loss, unforgiveness. You're just tied up inside because of things you haven't let go. Distractions, cares of this life. I got to put food on my table. I got to keep my kids clothed and fed. Yes, you do. Yes, we all have things in this life to take care of. We all have dishes to wash and floors to vacuum and bodies to wash and babies to take care of and cars to fix and brakes to fix. We all have things in our life that is just part of life. But we should never allow them to become so big and so overbearing that it puts a stop on what God wants us to do. We can find a way of doing both. Earthly pleasures, wanting ease, wanting to sit back and just do nothing, or the lure of having more, getting more, having more stuff, having more things. And that becomes something that is so important because I don't have what they have. And what must they think of me? Because they drive this and I drive that. They live in this and I live in that. Brothers and sisters, we're all on a journey. Wherever you are in life right now, when you look at it, the snapshot is not the movie. You take a snapshot of me right now, I guarantee you, I'm going to be farther down the road a week from now. So you can hang on to the snapshot to know what Steve Howell was like right now. But to know who I am, you're going to have to follow me in a movie. Because I'm more than just a snapshot of my life. My life is on the move. And so should yours be. In closing, I want to ask you these questions. I want you to consider this, not only just now, but as you leave this place today. Are you pursuing His call on your life? Have you heard His call? Have you accepted His gifts? And are you pursuing His call on your life? Let me just say that in my own life, when it comes to ministry and preaching, those of you who know me have heard me say many times before, this wasn't something that I know I didn't call myself to because this doesn't come to me naturally. I'm okay one-on-one, but I never was the life of a party. I never was one that would stand up in a group and just try to get everybody to look at me and I could hold everybody's attention. And I never was that guy. And when God called me to preach, I heard Him call me to preach, it shook me to my core because that was not me. I had and heard the call long before I experienced the gift. But I knew the gift had to follow because the call came. Even though it appeared there was absolutely no gift there, I heard the call, I answered the call. I went and told Susan, I believe God's called me to preach. It didn't come out that quick, it didn't come out that easy. I was so embarrassed about who I was as a person and my inadequacies and my lack of gift that I thought that even saying that I felt I was called could have been taken as something for her to laugh at. She did laugh. She laughed at me for being embarrassed. And she said, "You silly thing, I've known that for a long time." But I didn't know it because I had a gift and I was looking for my call. That may be you. You have a gift, now you're looking for your call. What do you call me to do with this gift? I had a call long before I had the gift. But the two always go together. Are you pursuing God? If you know that you have a gift, are you pursuing Him to find out why you have it and what He wants to do with you? Or if you have a call on your life and you feel inadequate, are you pursuing God? God, where is the anointing that'll make this happen? Because I don't feel it right now. You know what I started doing? Even without the feeling of anything, when I realized I was called, I went and told the preacher of the church I was in, "I believe God's called me to preach." He said, "Well, you're going to have to preach then." I thought, never thought of that. That's not looking too good on the horizon. But are you pursuing God in these things? Are you exercising the gifts that He has given you for His glory? Are you singing for you? Or are you singing for Him? If you have a gift of communication, are you communicating for you? Are you communicating for Him? If you have a gift of writing, are you writing for you, for your glory? Are you writing for Him? If you have a gift for artistic things, are you doing that for His glory or for you? Are you pursuing and exercising your gifts, acknowledging Him as the giver and exercising it for His glory? Are you encouraging others to seek God as part of a body, as part of a family, as part of one who's connected beyond just, hi, how are you doing? Are you encouraging others to seek God that they may know His calling and to exercise their gifts? Do you show your support for them as they respond to God's call? And do you express thanks for His gifts that are manifested through Him? Do you express the fact that you saw God through what they did, that you heard God through what they said? Do you forget about honoring me? Do you honor God enough to tell His servant, whoever it might be, whoever she might be, thank you for that? And lastly, are you encouraging your children to hear the voice of the Lord, no matter how young they may be? That when He does speak, just as Samuel lay in his bed and he heard the voice, Samuel, and he got up and he went in to Eli and said, did you call me? He said, no, son, I didn't call you. And he went and laid back down and he heard the voice again, Samuel. And he went in to Eli and said, Eli, didn't you call me? He said, no, I didn't call you. He said, well, I heard my name. He said, go lay back down. And he heard the voice again, Samuel. And he went back in and he said, if he speaks again, say, Lord, I'm listening. I hear you, Lord. I'm listening. Speak to me. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Are you encouraging your children to hear the voice of the Lord? We want them to hear the voice of Barney. We want them to hear the voice of all these things. And they're so cute and everything. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But what we really need and want for our children is to hear the voice of the Lord. And to answer His call. And to receive His gifts. And to know that anything that they are good at, that potentially it is more than just being naturally good. It could be the seed of God's gift within them that they are to use ultimately for His glory. Today I'm going to end here. I want to say that once again I have no clue why the Lord wanted me to revisit this, but I know that this is the message that He put on my heart to go out today. And I pray that you have not heard a bald-headed Texas guy speak. I pray that you heard the voice of Almighty God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We praise You. Lord, I thank You that each one of us who knows You and has committed their lives to You, that You are calling and You're gifting for Your glory. Lord, I pray that each one of us would respond and we would not neglect the gift that is within us. We would not fail to answer the call. Lord, let us honor You and return our love to You as You've expressed it to us by gifting us and calling us. Lord, let us return that love to You by saying, yes, Lord, Thy servant heareth. Yes, Lord, Your servant in Your strength and in Your power will obey. In Jesus' name, amen.